Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What is going on? This is the Ethos Clippers podcast coming at you here Sunday evening after the LA Clippers take game one against the Dallas Mavericks without Kawhi Leonard. How sweet it is. I am your host, Brandon Marcus, joined by my co-host, Matt Matawarren, back on the Ethos Clippers podcast. Matt, how are you, my friend?
Sports Ethos, Clipper Nation, Brandon Marcus, how the heck are you? I'm pretty shocked, actually. I'm in a good mood, surprisingly so. I don't want to say speechless, because we got about 30 to 45 minutes of Clippers to talk, but I'm a little bit speechless that the Clippers won this game, because we were texting before and we said Godspeed to these guys, and guess what?
Yeah, I texted you before the game and I said, I think they're going to get crushed in this game. And listen, people who have listened to this podcast know that I am not the most optimistic when it comes to certain things, because we have talked about this, how we've been through hell and back with this team. And frankly, we haven't seen Kawhi Leonard and Paul George together healthy in the playoffs ever. And so, of course, Kawhi Leonard is indeed hurt. And we had Shane on the podcast, and you and I both didn't think that he was going to be available for game one. And Shane said, "Nah, I think we're okay. I think this is just them getting him rest." And so I said, "Oh, you know what? You may be right." I tried to be a little more optimistic, but no, you can't be optimistic, unfortunately, when it comes to this team and it comes to injuries, as Kawhi Leonard is dealing with knee inflammation. There is hope that he's going to be back at some point this series. You and I talked about this last podcast, and I said, if he's not available game one, why would he suddenly be available game two, which is just 2 days later, which is going to be 48 hours when the Clippers take on the Mavs again Tuesday night. But there are some grumblings that he may be available for Tuesday, and I'm happy to be wrong. I hope that's the case. There have been people out there, including our friend Justin Wilson of LA Clippers Film, who have said, you know what, just sit him out game one, and then I think the Clippers are going to try and hopefully get him back for game two. Hope they can steal game one and then bring him back. And listen, that is a very realistic possibility. I still don't think it's the case. I would still be surprised if we see him before game three or game four. But listen, who knows? I guess we'll hit on the Kawhi thing quick, and then we'll go and we'll talk about the Clippers actually winning, because we want to talk about the winning basketball on the actual court and not what's going on off the court. But this really came as no surprise to me. There are people that continue to label him questionable coming into this game. And listen, the guy was not taking any contact, and he was just getting shots up and really did not look like the guy that was going to be available for game one. What's your concern level right now with him? Because I've seen this act before. The only thing that we can take away from this is that he doesn't have a torn ACL. You and I were talking about this when he made the Olympic team. Like, okay, that's great. At least we know that he's not seriously injured. So we'll take that. So where's your concern level right now, Kawhi?
So the concern level for me, and you're right, a little pessimistic about him playing game one. And I thought that he would, I was guessing he would sit game one and maybe he can come back game two. The prognosticator himself, Skip Bayless, guy who we always, you know, give a big thumbs up to. And speaking of thumbs up, so Skip Bayless said he's going to come. He may play a game too. I don't believe anything he says. But when there's a nuclear explosion, this is from the show Fallout. You give a thumbs up, and if the explosion is bigger than your thumb, then it is close enough to where you need to panic. If it's smaller than your thumb, then you have a chance to run away. And at this point, I think the explosion is. I don't think we have a chance to run away yet, because I'm still so scared of what's going on with Kawhi's knee, because him not being able to take contact yet, and he's doing some shooting in practice. How does that change by Tuesday?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how he suddenly can cut the way that he wants to. It feels like that's pretty important. If he's not able to do that and all he's doing is putting up shots, I don't know how he's going to be available. I say 48 hours later. It's a little bit more than that since the Clippers played that matinee game. I just don't see it. Listen, I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I don't see how he suddenly is available for game two. And now it's possible that they say, hell, we took game one without him. Let's see if we can take game two without him, and then we'll bring him back for game three. But I still feel like you're really just living on a knife's edge there, because this is a Mavericks team, and we'll get to the game right now, that shot like absolute dog poop in the first half. I mean, they scored 30 points, 8 total points in the second quarter. And I just don't think we're going to see a performance like that again this series. You look at halftime, the Mavs were 9 of 40, 22.5%. The Clippers were 21 of 45, 47%. The Mavs were 2 for 18 from 3. And this is a team that has been very good offensively with Luka and Kyrie. And the Clippers were more sustainable. I mean, listen, 47% from the field and 7 of 15 from 3. Maybe you miss one 3 there. I mean, the Clippers were solid offensively, and the defense, listen, was good in that first half, but it was not great. I mean, Dallas was missing a lot of shots inside the arc, and shots that they normally make. They're missing tip-ins, they're missing layups, they're missing open threes, but the Clippers got the big enough lead that they needed to hold on down the stretch. So the defense was good. I don't think it was as good as people say it was in that first half. I mean, listen, you hold a team to 30 points. You're going to put a tip, you're going to put a feather in their cap for sure. But that first half still left me a little bit concerned, and then we saw exactly why when the Mavs scored 34 points in the third quarter. Overall, let's talk about the first half and your impression of the Clippers offensively and defensively, and what really stood out for you.
Energy and mentioned in the broadcast, it's the Clippers coming out of the gate, and I think Mike Wilbon said this even at halftime. It's the Clippers shooting out of the gate and coming out strong, and the energy was there. I mean, you could see it defensively, even if the Mavericks were missing shots that perhaps they should be making. They missed some bunnies. They missed some open three pointers. Look, we always talk about it's about skill, but it's also about luck, and that was exactly what happened in this game. The Clippers played their asses off. They had some good luck that Dallas really sucked in that first half, especially in that second quarter. But I thought the defense was great. I mean, the rotations were great. Ty Lue, just you know, keeping Harden in there for just as long as he did, and Zubats, your X factor was amazing. I thought Amir Coffey was—he got the two stupidest fouls I've ever seen in my life. But other than that, he was so great getting up in Doncic's grill, and just the movement, and everybody played with purpose, and the efficiency was there. But it was really just about effort and getting after it. When Russ got in, it was obviously that was another energizer bunny thing. We're just talking about the first half here. I was so encouraged by the way they played that it just, and you know, you can't say enough about Harden. And yeah, okay, so he hits shots. If he misses shots, then he sucks. If he's hitting shots, then he's great. But just he willed the game he bent the game to his will. And I really thought that the Clippers did that on defense and they did that on offense. And it was a great first half. And you can say what you want about, okay, the Mavericks will be better. They can hit more shots. And you saw that in the second half, but shoot, that first half was phenomenal.
Just to kind of elaborate on what I was saying with the missing of shots that you wouldn't expect them to miss, Law Murray put these stats together. I saw this. The Mavericks made only 5 of 24 shots outside the paint. So they missed 19 of their 24 shots outside the paint. They also missed 12 of 16 inside the paint. Like, those numbers are not sustainable. And we saw that clearly change in the third quarter. But you mentioned James Harden. I'm glad you went there because that's where I wanted to go next. In that first quarter, Harden 4 of 5, 3 of 3 from downtown. And one of the main things you and I discussed leading into the series was how important James Harden was going to be and how he is pivotal to this offense as that second to third fiddle, depending on if Kawhi is healthy or not, and how the Clippers really would need him to get going because he had shot terribly the last couple of months of the season, and we certainly wondered how much the injuries and fatigue were playing a role. And we discussed how the Clippers were finally going to get him some rest because he did not play in that final game. So he had over 7 days rest for the first time as a Clipper. I mean, you go all the way back even to the All-Star break. He did not have 7 days because the Clippers played, I believe, Thursday and then Thursday. So this time he's allowed to get at least 8 days of rest. And it showed. He looked like a guy that had clearly had some time off to rest whatever was ailing him. And that was crucial because PG was garbage in the first half. And they needed all of James Harden's points because the Clippers just were not getting anything from Paul George. And you're not going to win games when you don't have Paul George and James Harden, or at least one of them, doing well in at least a half of basketball. And Harden was doing just that. He was carrying the mantle. So we clearly saw how important he was. And we even saw the facilitating, of course, with the lob to Westbrook. You mentioned Westbrook's energy, those two connecting. I think that was really good to see that he was able to contribute both as a scorer and a facilitator because that's the guy the Clippers need that certainly raises their ceiling as a playoff contender and just simply in this series, Matt.
And Harden playing so well, just completely, so much has been talked about the Mavericks being the number one defensive team in the last, 15 games, and their defense has really stepped up. But I felt like it threw their defense completely off kilter because you throw Doncic on Harden, and he wanted nobody. He's like, no.
He was a traffic cone, man.
Switch. Yeah, exactly. Just he could do Harden could do anything he wanted against him, and then Kyrie played some pretty good defense, on some switches. But and Gafford got in some early foul trouble. He hurt his ankle early as well. But I really think that Harden playing and being so aggressive and then hitting those shots just opened everything up. And in that too, Zoo being so aggressive down low and just, being pretty gosh darn dominant. I mean, the X Factor himself, as you said, those two guys together really opened stuff up and really screwed with the Mavericks defense, which was so lauded at this point. Like, oh, the Mavericks have figured it out. Jason Kidd has put Gafford in the starting lineup, and now they're cooking. Jones Jr. is in there. I really thought Harden really disrupted everything, just being as good as he was. So that was certainly a key to the first half.
Yeah, no doubt. And you look at Harden, he was 6 of 11 from 3. If he has a game like that, you're going to win. And they did. The Clippers were really good. He was 6 of 6 from the free throw line as well, also had 8 assists. So we saw what he could do, doing exactly what we thought he could do, scoring the basketball and passing.
One turnover.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, one turnover in 39 minutes as the point guard. Incredible. And you mentioned Zoo. That's where I want to go next because he started off the game incredibly well. He got going early against Gafford, backing down. Gafford wanted nothing to do with him. He had 10 points, 4 rebounds very early, and the only miss was a shot clock ending jumper. He was 5 of 5 if you get rid of that jumper where he had to bail him out from like 16 feet and he missed. So he got it going really early on. He ended up in the game shooting 10 of 17, 20 points, 15 rebounds. And he played 33 minutes, Matt. I mean, this is something that you and I have been crying for Ty Lue to do, is to play him big minutes. And if you get rid of the game where he played very limited minutes against Utah on April 12th, I mean, he's got a double-double now in seven straight games. I mean, he has been absolutely fantastic. You look at Charlotte, 24 and 12, Sacramento, 10 and 11, Denver, 14 and 15, 12 and 10 against Utah, 14 and 11 against Cleveland, 17 and 13 against Phoenix, 20 and 15 against Dallas. I mean, there's some big double-doubles in there, and Zoo is certainly going to be a key in this series. And like you said, I mentioned him as my X factor because I said he could not be played off the floor. And we saw a couple of times where Luka was eating him for lunch, but it didn't matter because what Zoo can give you down low to get you an easy basket when the Clippers do have a tendency to settle for jumpers, it's huge to have that easy 2 points down low inside 4 feet. And then what he does defensively, I mean, he disrupts the guys coming to the paint, whether it's Luka or Kyrie. I mean, guys had to think twice when they were starting to attack the basket, and that's why Zoo is one of the best defenders in the NBA in the paint. And so he could not be played off the floor. He played big minutes. So hats off to Ty Lue, because I thought Ty Lue did a very good job. We'll talk about one thing that maybe he could have changed down the stretch. But overall, I thought Ty Lue had a really good game plan, and he did a nice job drawing up plays. And the amount of minutes he played guys like Terrence Mann and Zoo, guys that we've been crying out to play big minutes. Zoo, 33 minutes. Terrence Mann, 38. How often do we see T-Man sit between like 18 and 22 when we're asking for him to play minutes? So really important to have those two guys play as many minutes as they did. And T-Man is the guy that you had as your X factor. And he did some really good stuff tonight.
I mean, Ty Lue, obviously an Ethos Clippers podcast listener, and I'm glad he took our X factors seriously. But Zoo, and you look at what he did. You mentioned it, 10 of 17, 20 and 15. And only one trip to the line, and that was on an and one, and he missed it. But it's not as if he's like drawing all these fouls on everybody. He's getting into the paint. He's hitting these floaters. He's hitting these push shots. He's hitting these hooks. He was so phenomenal when he was in there. T-Man was, I mean, he was electric. 9 rebounds, but 13 and 9, 3 three-pointers. And you said, like you mentioned, he played nearly 40 minutes. And he was zipping up and down the court. And we got to mention Amir Coffey, because we were concerned. Ty Lue yesterday said, I know who I'm going to start if Kawhi doesn't play. And you and I were like, oh no, don't mean we're going to wake up in the afternoon and still have our pajamas on. Luckily, that wasn't the case, because it was Amir Coffey. And I thought, you know, despite, you look at the box score and it's not all that impressive, but I thought his size, he hit a couple of big threes really early on, and him playing defense against Luka, like we said, just great. So I'm taking a lot of positives away from this game.
Yeah. By the way, second highest minutes total for Terrence Mann this season. So it's really good to see him get the minutes he did. And I tweeted during the game, it won't show up in the box score what he's doing. And it ended up showing in the box score what he did. I mean, 4 of 8 from the field, 3 of 3 from downtown, 9 rebounds, like you said. But he was doing such a good job attacking the glass, getting offensive rebounds. Not only was he going and getting offensive rebounds, but even when he was attacking with the ball in his hands, he was collapsing the defense. He was passing the ball, finding the open guy. There was a time where he drove baseline past Kyrie. He missed the layup, but because he drew the defense away, it allowed an easy putback for Zoo. He just was doing the little things with the extra pass on the being a short roller. It really impressive stuff from Terrence Mann. And if he and Zoo can provide what they did, like they did in this ball game, night to night, and you add that with PG and Kawhi, the Clippers have a great chance. And you're really leading me into each next step. You can see that we've done podcasts together for a while here. We'll talk about Amir Coffey, but quick, let's take a quick break.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Okay, so you mentioned it. Who was going to be the fifth starter? And I saw, I believe it was Lucas of 213 Hoops that posted, who do you think the Clippers' third starter should, or rather the fifth starter should be? And there was PJ Tucker, Norm Powell, and Amir Coffey. And I saw our friend Justin Wilson of LA Clippers Film said, go Powell, go all in on the offense. And you and I have talked about how it's got to be Amir Coffey. And we've seen the Clippers look really bad when PJ Tucker's in the starting lineup. And we've seen what it does to their second unit when Norm Powell is in the starting lineup. And not only their second unit offensively, but it hurts their first unit defensively because Norm Powell is not a very good defender. And we saw today how important it was to have Amir Coffey out there to start. And you even said after the game, or pardon me, in the middle of the game towards the end, you were saying how you would have liked to see Amir Coffey on the floor instead of Norm Powell to close. And that's one of the things that Ty Lue does have a tendency to do, is he'll go with certain guys despite whether they're winning or losing. And I mean, how many times have we seen where the Clippers are winning ball games and he'll take Zoo off the floor? And it's like, dude, you need to get rebounds because teams are going to come back if you don't get rebounds. Or like they're losing and Zoo's on the floor. It's like, you need to get rebounds. You need to limit the second chance points. And then you look at, you're winning by 15. It's like, you got to get stops. Like, I understand that you may want to get some points because you're afraid of them coming back, but there's only like 3 or 4 minutes left. Like, you just need a couple of stops and you're fine. And I'm surprised they didn't bring in Amir Coffey sooner. He did end up bringing him in, actually. And he did the whole switchable defense. I think he took Zoo off the floor so they could have 5 guys that could switch. But nonetheless, it showed the importance of Amir Coffey, who played 25 minutes. And who would have thought coming into the season that in game one of the NBA playoffs, Amir Coffey would be starting and playing 25 minutes. But a really important role that he's filled for this team and that he may continue to fill for this team as long as Kawhi is out.
I mean, Amir is going to have a long NBA career. He's so good. And you're right. So a lot of times you get upset when like a football team plays prevent defense just like to hold a lead. And you would think that putting Amir in there was like, oh no, let's put Norm in there. Let's keep the pedal to the metal. But actually, Amir is you wouldn't notice it by the points he made today, but he's a pretty skilled offensive player as well. But I do believe that having him in there is a little, you have a little higher ceiling, well, not a little, a lot higher ceiling defensively than having Norm in there. For the most part, I mean, just because of the height, because of the switchability of it all. And like I said, I thought Amir just did such a great job sticking to Luka and just kind of annoying him. And let's say him and team man are there together and they switched on a Kyrie screen or whatever it is, and we kind of try to keep Zoo out of it. But man, Amir, he just steps up and he continues to impress. And I did want him in there a little bit more towards the end, because Norm, as much as I love him, just didn't have it going today, and that's fine. But if he doesn't have it going offensively, then he's kind of got to get pulled, because there's not much that's going to go on defensively with Norm. As hard as he may try, I just think Coffey, with his size, and he has the offensive skills as well, he should be in there. But thank goodness he started instead of Amos or anybody else. And another wrinkle, I mean, it's just Ty Lue, sort of played the cards perfectly today. I mean, he could have put in Coffey a little bit earlier, but Plumlee was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was surprised that it was Plumlee that went in. Tice, I was very curious as to what was going to happen there, but you know, he only played 13 minutes, but I thought his energy was fantastic. He had 5 rebounds, but he was all over the place. You know, he was disrupting stuff inside. He the loose balls and all this kind of stuff, and then Westbrook brought the energy as well. So it was 8 players. It was the 8-man rotation today, and I thought every single one of those 8, even Norm, who, you know, you could say he sucked today, but he played 30 minutes, for God's sakes, and he was a +5. He was out there. I thought all 8 did well today.
You're legitimately going step by step by step in terms of guys that I want to talk about and topics I want to talk about. So I just want to give you kudos for that one, because I was going to mention the 8-man rotation, and we talk about Amir Coffey. And as crazy as this is, Matt, once Kawhi comes back, it's possible we don't even see Amir. It's possible he's not a part of this rotation, and you may say, that's crazy, he's got to play minutes. But the question is, whose minutes is he taking, and how many is he taking? Because Westbrook's clearly going to be a part of this lineup. The Clippers clearly need a backup center behind Zoo, and Norm Powell's clearly going to play. And you really only play 8 players in the postseason. I've talked about this so much all the time. I mentioned that you may want to play certain guys. I always bring up this example. You always want to talk about Luke Kennard and how he needs to play. Back in the day, I said, you're not going to play him in the postseason. There's just only so many guys you're going to play. So it's possible we may not even see Amir Coffey on the floor. Now, that's obviously going to be up to Ty Lue to see if he wants to possibly play 9 guys and see if that works out. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I mean, Dallas ended up playing, I believe, 10 guys today before they waved the white flag. So maybe he throws a 9th in there. And it depends how many minutes Kawhi is going to play. But that's the crazy thing about Amir, is that he has the ability to start and then just completely not play in a game. But he stays
and
ready.
And I think that's okay, yeah. By the way. I think that's okay. I think that's the beauty of Amir Coffey, is that you're right. He has the ability to start and play amazing defense. And then if he's not, if Kawhi is healthy, then he's just such a luxury for this team. So you got to love it. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think you're right that it's going to shrink down to an 8-man rotation. And if Amir doesn't play, he doesn't. But gosh, he's a great bull to have in the holster.
Yeah. And just a quick note, you mentioned Daniel Tice versus Plumlee. And I know you did think that Tice was going to get the minutes at center, and I think other people did as well. I was impressed by what I saw. I thought he played some really good minutes when the Clippers needed him to relieve Zoo. There was a time where Westbrook had a dunk, then Powell was chased off the three-point line, made a floater, then Plumlee had an offensive rebound and a putback after Man beat Kyrie on the baseline. That's the play I talked about earlier. It wasn't Zoo that put it back. It was actually Plumlee that put it back. So I was impressed by the minutes he played. And overall, I mean, you look at what Westbrook brought off the bench. The energy was really good. He played really good defense on Kyrie and Luka when he was asked to. He knew exactly when to pump up the crowd to get them going. So shout out to the bench. The bench did their job in this ball game. And I thought Ty Lue once again did a really good job with the starters. So I was glad to see that. One thing I do want to mention. And I mentioned, I kind of cheated, but I had Kyrie Irving as my, and this will kind of lead us to our next part, I had him as my X factor for Dallas, and it's no surprise that Kyrie didn't hit his first field goal until over 15 minutes into the game. Obviously a surprising part, but the not surprising part is that the Dallas Mavericks were struggling because he was not contributing. And you and I talked about how you really just need to have the other guys not do anything. Luka and Kyrie will get theirs. You try to limit a little bit what Kyrie does, and the Clippers did exactly that. I mean, he didn't get his first field goal until over 15 minutes into the game, and the Clippers by that point had like a 25-point lead. And by then, it was too late for Dallas to come back because the Clippers just need to do just enough to get over the hump. And so if Dallas, the one thing about Dallas that people didn't really talk about, Matt, is that their margin for error is rather small. Because the Clippers had PG not play a good game, but they had Harden, they had Zoo, they had Mann, they had Powell, at times hit a big three. I mean, their margin for error is a little bit bigger. Dallas is at times, and of course I say this, and you of course could have big games from Gafford, Hardaway Jr., you could have those guys chip in offensively, but it does feel like if Luka or Kyrie has a bad like 15 minutes or so, it's really tough for the Mavericks to recover from that.
It's so true, and I, as you were saying that, I got my calculator out, and it turns out that 3 is bigger than 2. So if Kawhi is healthy, and Harden is playing like this, mm-hmm. you got Harden, PG, and Kawhi, and then you have Irving and Doncic, and then you go down the list. I mean, it's crazy. So after Irving, who would you say it's like? Let's look at their starting five. Is it PJ Washington? Is Gafford their next best player? Played 14 minutes. PJ played 37, and
yeah,
you know, he was pretty good early. Is it Derek Jones Jr.? Is it Kleber? Is it Tim Hardaway? Is it so they have a bit of a problem after their first two, and like you said, 33 and 31, both pretty, you know. They didn't do all that much to begin with, but they brought the Mavericks back to where, of course, all of us Clippers fans were nervous, like, uh-oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. But you look down the roster, and as well as the Mavericks have been playing, the Clippers just have a better team, honestly. Like, even with Kawhi sitting, if Doncic and Irving do their thing and nobody else can contribute, which was exactly what happened today, the Clippers will win the series.
Yeah, Dallas really needs the other guys to step up. I mean, you look at the Clippers, they were up by 26 at the half, and PG had 2 field goals made. Like, that shows you the little bit of margin the Clippers have that sometimes they don't have. Like, let's be honest. There's going to be a game that Dallas is going to shoot the lights out. There's going to be a game where Tim Hardaway Jr. hits 5 or 6 threes. There's going to be a game where PJ Washington hits a couple of threes. You just don't hope. I mean, you just hope that's not in different games where Dallas needs them badly and those guys chip in and end up hurting you. I mean, there's going to be a game where Dante Exum possibly does something. You just need to be careful of those other guys like Kyrie and Luka. Like, those are the dudes. Like, there's no doubt about that. But the Clippers were able to weather the first half with PG doing really absolutely nothing. And Dallas was not, with Kyrie doing nothing. And then you look at the third quarter, all of a sudden, Dallas makes an adjustment. They put Derek Jones Jr. To guard James Harden. That slows down the Clippers' offense a little bit. However, didn't slow him down for very long, because Dallas may have scored 34 in the third. The Clippers had 31. The issue is that Kyrie, like I just spoke about, he had 20 in that third quarter. And normally, if you were to tell me that the Clippers get 34 and a quarter, and they were up big at halftime, I would have said they probably got outscored like 34-18 or something in the quarter. But to only be outscored 34-31 because of a couple of huge threes by Terrence Mann and Norm as Dallas was coming back, I mean, that's where the Clippers won the game. Because you could have easily lost it in the third quarter if you were outscored by like 16 points and all of a sudden Dallas was down by, I don't know, 10 points or so. But the fact the Clippers were able to keep it with a large lead going into the fourth quarter, gave them that wiggle room so that when Dallas did make that run in the fourth quarter, they still were a little too far away to touch. I mean, you could say they're within arm's reach. They're a little bit beyond that, and that's exactly where you want to be when a team is making a comeback. So the Clippers really had a huge third quarter, and I think that's where they won the game. You may think, oh, no, they won the game in the first half because they got that huge lead. No. When a team makes a comeback, which is inevitable in the game of basketball, you have to be able to weather that storm and get a couple of body blows back, and the Clippers did just that. So that's where I thought they ended up winning the game.
Well, let's not forget about Paul George's three huge plays in a row out of a timeout.
Yep.
That big dunk he got, then he hit a mid-range, then he hit a three. I mean, that really countered whatever the Mavericks were going to do. So Paul George playing 38 minutes and, you know, not the height of efficiency, obviously, but with T-Man's big threes and with, like you said, Powell's three, I thought Paul George, when it counted, really stepped up and made the right plays.
Yep.
And you mentioned the rest of the Mavericks not doing anything. It really puts a huge spotlight on your X factor on Zoo, because what he was able to do, and I'm just gonna go back to Zubac here, and I want to talk about Paul George because he was brilliant in certain spots, but Zoo being able to do what he did, and you look at my wilting X factor Lively, and you look at Gafford, and it's just like, it's just a world of difference in their productivity. But what Paul George was able to do in those three plays and the OTAs, which Richard Jefferson was mentioning to no end, those were great. And I thought also coaching wise, and I thought this from the beginning, I know Jason Kidd's one of the best point guards of all times, one of the best players. I don't know that he's that amazing of a coach as is compared to Ty Lue. I just thought this was exactly what we needed to see from the Clippers. And just to go to Paul George, he stepped up in those huge moments.
By the way, I have written down in my notes, PG comes out of timeout with three straight buckets, 97-78, man three, 178. So, yeah, I mean, we're right on the same page there. I mean, three huge buckets from PG when Dallas is making a comeback. And right before that, I wrote down Mavs down 15 with 8:30 left. Defense looks awful. And the defense wasn't good. The offense wasn't really doing much. And PG, when the Clippers needed him, like, he did not have a good game, but when the Clippers needed him, he hit the shots the Clippers needed him to make. And that's what you need from a superstar. They may not have a big game, but they hit the shots when you need them. And PG did just that. And then Harden hit a huge three down the stretch when the Mavs made a run. So shout out to Harden. Shout out to PG. I mean, you mentioned PG, and it wasn't good in that first half. But for him to stick with it and hit those big shots when the Clippers needed them, I mean, I think we've hit on every single Clipper that's played today, and that certainly helps when they only have eight guys. But it really was an all-around team effort. Now, the thing is, we may have said the Clippers have a larger margin really to work with here in terms of margin for error. I mean, there's going to be a game where PG is lava hot, you would assume. And the only thing is that you can see the Clippers kind of not get that production from Zoo. You could see what Dallas does. And if they don't get the production from Zoo, then all of a sudden you become a jump shooting team. Harden's not going to shoot over 50% from three every game. So while the Clippers have that margin of error, all it takes is Dallas to get a little bit more from guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. and PJ Washington, and for Dallas, or rather the Clippers, get a little bit less from James Harden and a little bit less from a guy like Zoo, and then you wonder what's going to happen. But then you look and you say, well, the Clippers should get more from PG. They should get more from Norm Powell. So that's where I'm kind of leaning more Clippers right now, the way they've looked. But that being said, I mean, It's still worrisome. It's still one game. And the one thing that we've learned over these last couple of months, Matt, is not to overreact to one game. But the signs were positive. There's no doubt about that. But the Clippers have shown us that they are a very up-and-down roller coaster ride type team. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Dallas was red hot in that game two, and the Clippers all of a sudden went away from Zoo. All of a sudden, Terrence Mann only played 25 minutes. I could see that happening. Hopefully it doesn't. But I just am not going to get too ahead of myself, but it's certainly positive that the Clippers took game one and they're three wins away. And that's really all that matters.
I'm glad you mentioned the word positive, because, you know, we can nitpick till the cows come home about, yeah, you know, the Mavericks are not going to shoot that poorly. They're not going to score 8 points in a quarter, but guess what? The bottom line is the Clippers had, If they want any chance in this series, especially without Kawhi, they had to win game one.
Yep.
And they did it. And so now we're at a point where, okay, now there's a roadmap to where the Clippers can win this series, to where everybody, and I mean everybody except for Kenny the Jet Smith and Ramona Shelburne, everybody else picked the Mavericks to win the series, right? And now we're in a spot where, guess what? The Clippers are up 1-0. Kawhi, who knows? But we've shown that maybe he doesn't play the next game, and maybe he doesn't play the next game after that, and maybe he doesn't play the next game after that. But the Clippers can and did beat this team in a playoff scenario. So this game was so important, and it is of course it's a positive step. It's a win. And where would we be if we lost this game? We'd be like, uh-oh, this is what we feared. This is without Kawhi. Clippers are in this is the greatest spot that the Clippers could be in, given the circumstances.
Yeah, that's why I didn't buy the whole, hey, let's see what happens. Maybe let's try and steal game one, and who knows, maybe bring back Kawhi. Like, there's no really stealing game one. Like, the Clippers really needed to win this game to kind of show themselves that they could win without Kawhi and not fall behind and give home court back to Dallas. But you did bring up something that I wanted to discuss in the podcast, and I actually forgotten to write it down. I'm really glad you brought it up. Isn't it funny how the national media, all of a sudden, they're all over the Mavericks, and they think this is the team that could possibly compete with Denver. This is the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, watch out for Luka. Watch out for Kyrie. The Clippers are going to lose the series. You look at Vegas. Vegas had the Dallas Mavericks to win the series. You look at all the predictions all over the place. Many of them had Dallas to win the series. Isn't it funny that the Clippers just tend to do well when everybody isn't talking about them and they're being counted out? It's such a weird thing we've noticed with this team this year. That look at the start of the season. Nobody was talking about them. All of a sudden, the Clippers go and they win 26 of 31. And then all of a sudden, everyone is all over the Clippers. And then the Clippers start falling apart. So the Clippers are okay being in this spot, where in the nobody believes in us type situation, which is so strange to say about a team with Harden and Paul George, and that might have Kawhi Leonard. But it's a good spot to be in, and the Clippers don't have those expectations. We have those expectations as fans. I mean, listen, I came in, I thought the Clippers were going to lose this game, so maybe I didn't have the expectation. But it's a good spot to be in, and it makes you feel good when the Clippers are able to get these wins and quiet the doubters.
Well, think about they're the bulletin board boys, right? Like, yeah. Think about this. Ty Lue won a championship with LeBron James, the number one bulletin board boy in the NBA. Like, you gotta be the underdog. You gotta find something to that people are talking smack, or like that they don't respect you, or that's just what it is. And for some reason, the Clippers, and you're so right that the Clippers do that. And the national media, I mean, they jumped on the Mavericks like this is the best team. Like, you know, back in January, we thought the Clippers were the only ones that can challenge Denver. But now we know that Dallas is the only team that can challenge Denver. And, you know, the Clippers tend to respond when they're the underdogs. You're right. It's a weird thing. And we've talked about it before. We kind of feel more comfortable when we're the underdogs somehow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And hopefully that continues. By the way, a very kind timing for the series in terms of podcasts. So for those of you that are curious, we are going to try and get a podcast after each game. Just looking at the schedule, it lays out pretty nicely where the game obviously is Tuesday night. We'll give you a pod on Wednesday night since the Clippers don't play again until Friday. So you got a couple days to digest that one. Then the Friday game's actually at 5 o'clock, so we can get you one post-game possibly. And then Sunday, the game's at 12:30. So another chance to get you a Sunday night podcast. So hopefully we'll get you a podcast after each of the first four games. The Dallas game 2-1 would come on Wednesday, and the other two would come that night after the two games in Dallas. Obviously, Matt Matawarin is expecting a child at some point, so we'll see how that goes. I will get a guest at some point when Matt has to go and play the role of daddy, which is coming sooner rather than later. But for now, Matt, we watch Clippers basketball and we enjoy W's. Matt Matawarin, at Matt Matawarin on X. I am at BD Marcus. Of course, you can give us a 5-star rating and you can review the podcast as well. It certainly does help us if you drop a review. So yeah, Matt, we just got to enjoy some Clippers basketball until you get to father duty, right?
Absolutely. I'm expecting a child, but I'm like the Clippers when I least expect it, then it's the best.
Yep. And listen, get some wins, bring the child into the world, possibly a second round matchup. So we'll see how things go. But so far, so good. The Clippers are up 1-0 on the Dallas Mavericks, and we'll see what happens on Tuesday night. So until next time, he's Matt, I'm Brandon, and go Clips.
Go Clips.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD, streaming audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.